Blog Talk Radio. Today is Saturday, November 25th, 2017, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Saturday to you, and thanks for joining me today. And I do say happy in the spirit of happy Thanksgiving. I'm surely hoping that your day was a wonderful one. I know it was a great day in my neighborhood. It's a great day to appreciate all the friends and family and framily. Wherever they are, wherever they may be scattered, we have them on our hearts and minds on that particular day, don't we? Yeah, it's really a good time. And regardless of where they may have been scattered, you know, I don't know if you're like a lot of people, many of them find themselves gathered around the table together for the holidays, and that's truly a blessed and wonderful thing. And can you believe we're already staring Christmas in the face? Well, it happens every year, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. You know, I put a wreath on my door already. In fact, I did it 2 days before Christmas. And you want to hear something funny? I put a padlock on it and anchored it to the door knocker. I know that sounds funny, but let me fill you in. Yeah, that's what you do when someone tries to steal your pretty Christmas wreath. You know, it could happen, and I'll tell you why I feel like that. Someone recently decided they would remove my very pricey windshield wiper. So I'm a little overly cautious at this point on what people may want to steal. I know that sounds really funny, but who steals windshield wipers, right? Gee whiz. Okay, then. So I'm just doing what I need to do. So anyway, moving right along, you people know that the Me Too movement has cast a great light on sex abuse on every level. So many hidden secrets and so much pain being brought out into the open. And I tell you, speaking of being overly cautious, it's given us a whole lot of reasons to be that way in relationships and who we love, who we leave our children with, who we trust them with. And my guest today has been on before and shared her story of abuse as a child, and she is truly in all areas of her life a survivor and has become a real warrior for those who have had the same or similar experiences. She is Lilaita G, the founder of Lilaita's Living Room, an organization to help girls and women who are victims of sex abuse. And on Tuesday, November 28th, she's putting even more focus on these issues by launching the Black Girls 2 movement. And we're just excited to, in the way that we should be, to talk about this issue to help bring more focus as it is surely needed. Welcome back, Lilaita.
It's so good to be back with you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for finding a few minutes to chat today. Did you have a happy Thanksgiving?
You know, I did. I actually was home alone. One of my kids was down in California. The other one was up in Alaska, and everybody else kind of went their own way. So I had a really quiet Thanksgiving at home.
Mm-hmm. So did I. So did I. I think if
nice.
We were to do a survey... I think if we were to do a survey, a lot of us were right there in front of our laptop getting work done and asking people to bring food to us. But that's okay. We'll do what you got to do. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
But anyway, yeah, I do continue to follow you and commend you for all of the efforts that you are making to help girls and women. This is such a serious issue, and the good news is that the Me Too movement has been so very instrumental in helping bring even more women and girls into focus who are putting aside the past fears that they've had in regard to this and trying to deal with the shame of it and coming out and expressing their experiences that have impacted them for so many years of their lives. And I know you have a story that is a painful one as well. And you have been amazing at what you have turned your experience and pain into to help these girls and women. But I would really like to have you share your story once again so that our listeners can be familiar with why you have come to do what you do now.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for those kind words. And so I was like too many black women and too many black girls who had a story in the past of being sexually abused as a child. And for me, it started when I was about 6 years old with my stepfather. And this was the man who was the only father I had ever known. He and my mom had dated since, I think I was a toddler. And, you know, like too many stories, our abusers are people that we know and that we love. And it complicates the situation very much. And the abuse went on for about 5 or 6 years. So it got to the point where I knew that if I did not in some way bring a stop to this abuse, I just felt like I was going to die totally inside. And one day I went and told my mom. I was about 11 years old at the time. And she, unlike too many mothers, she did believe me. And she immediately kicked him out. And she embraced me, and I thought, you know, finally the worst thing that I thought was the telling, you know. And I told, and lightning didn't strike me down. And I just thought, you know, the happy music was going to start playing. But sometime later, my mother came to me and basically said that they could not afford to run two households because my stepfather had moved out into his own place. And she told me that he was going to come back into the home. And when I tell this story and I talk to other young people who have gone through this, you know, this was probably the hardest leg of the story for me, because as long as my mother did not know, I could still hold her off as the hero and that she what she would do if she had known. And at this point in time, when she decided to have him move back and eventually reconcile with him, it made me really disappear as a little girl and felt like it did not matter. This worst thing that I thought could have happened, telling my mom, her knowing, her believing me, but still choosing to go back with him.
Are you still there, Lolita?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
I was just pausing because I can go and go and go.
Well,
you know,
I know the part that I want you to go on to share, and then we'll kind of expand on that conversation. I know that the abuse didn't continue as it was, but there was really a kind of strangeness that continued with his presence in the home and you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I call it kind of more of the psychological continuation of the abuse, because my stepfather continued to try to abuse me, but what happened was when I told, it opened up that dark place, the secret that was just between he and I. And then subsequently when he would try to abuse me again, I would tell my mother, and she would say the right thing. She would say, well, if he does it again, I'm going to tell everybody what kind of a pervert he is. And we kind of got into this cadence. He would try again. I would tell her, she would threaten and never do anything about it. She never kicked him out again, type of thing. And it ended up being this really weird psychological thing, because I felt like he was always watching me. And I'm now going through puberty. I'm mad at my body because my breasts are coming, my hips are widening, and I'm feeling like my body is betraying me. I'm feeling like the more I develop, the more he is like watching me, stalking me. until the time I was 19, and this was like 8 years after the abuse had ended, per se. And one night I went to sleep, and we didn't know where he was, and we just went to sleep, and I heard a noise in the middle of the night and discovered he had been in my closet pleasuring himself. And realized that over this 8 years, when I was feeling like I was going crazy, like, oh, my mom and him were back together, you know, and I feel like this man is stalking me, but I had no proof of it. And that day, I realized that everything I had been feeling was true. Now, the unfortunate thing is, even after that, my mother tried and tried and tried to reconcile with him, which I interpreted as, I'm nothing, I'm not important, I'm invisible, and I just don't matter. Because that seemed, he seemed, her being with him, her keeping up the appearances of this happy family, this great couple, was more important than the private hell that I was in my own home. My own Christian home, I want to add.
Well, your trauma is certainly representative of so many. And as I said a little bit earlier, that's coming to the forefront now more than ever. And you have recently determined that there are a lot of us who have not been brave enough to come out with our stories. And so what mm-hmm. you are doing on November 28th is encouraging girls and women, black girls and women everywhere, to find that courage to come out and share
yes.
their stories. Why do you feel it's so important, knowing that there is this burden of shame, this burden of fear? Many abusers and families are still around who
mm-hmm.
have to, who you personally will fear facing that rebuttal and denial and all the other things that come along with that. What is it that you're going, what's your message going to be to inspire women to be courageous?
I want black women to be courageous for the sake of black girls. So many of our girls are living in secret and living in darkness and struggling every day just to live. You know, the one thing that started out is, you know, I started Black Woman Heal, continue to do that work, love that work. But I've been spending a lot of time over the last 2-3 years doing groups and one-on-ones with black girls. And time again, these young, beautiful, bright-futured black girls are telling me that they have either struggled with the thoughts of suicide or they have actually tried to kill themselves, some of them multiple times. And when I continue to talk to the to these girls, I would say 90% of the time, the foundation of their pain is that they were sexually abused as children, never got help, they weren't believed, they weren't protected. And, you know, black women, everybody is on our back. We are supporting everyone. We are out there marching. We have always been in the front line. But what we haven't been on the front line is for ourselves and for our girls. And I want black women to have the courage to tell their black girl stories for the sake of our girls, one, so they know they are not alone. Two, so that if there are these abusers, sometimes we have multi-generational abusers in our family, we could begin creating a safety net for our girls this year. You know, my step-grandfather sexually abused my mother. My mother knew, my grandmother knew, he knew, the original founder of Me Too, and she founded it for the sake of black and brown girls to tell their stories. And while I applaud what has happened with the Me Too movement, what has happened is that it's gotten an upper-class privileged white woman's face to it. And it's not that abuse cannot happen at every level. But what I'm concerned about is for these black girls where it happens. And they don't have the resources. They don't have the opportunities to get help that they need to heal. And so I believe that as we as black women find the courage to tell our stories, we are going to circumvent some stories that might have been because of our courage.
Can I ask this, because I'm sure you've had to deal with this, when the girls and the women decide to share. I mentioned a little bit earlier about the abusers, their families, still being close by, still being easily accessible to the victim. How do you tell them to deal with that? Because there's got to be a lot of repercussions that are probably unexpected.
Right. And, you know, for many of us that still have had to deal with the abusers that are in our families, it's not a matter of physical safety. You know, it's not if they're going to harm us in some way if we tell. It's more along the lines of emotional safety. Will we be believed? Will our families rally around the abuser and not the one who has been abused? And so what I want to tell someone who may be an adult person who was a child survivor of sexual abuse is that in this moment, you're no longer that child. And you have the voice and you have the power, you have the ability to save yourself now. When we were kids, we couldn't do it, but we have the power to do it now. And we deserve to be in a safe place in our homes, in our relationships. And sometimes that means the risk of taking away relationships that may be close or dear to you because of their inability to make healthy decisions for you. So that may mean that you don't go to Big Mama's house for Thanksgiving. That may mean you don't go to the family dinner at Christmas. If the family continues to support that abuser, it may mean that you have to change the way you interact family. But it's important for us to understand, you know, a lot of people say, why do people wait? Why didn't you tell? You know, when you're dealing with that trauma that you had as a child, emotionally, you're still that 6-year-old. You're still that 10-year-old. And the fear that you felt at that time can keep you silent your entire life. I've talked to women who are 70 and 80 years old who have been abused as kids who never told anyone, never. So I just want to encourage people to know that now this is your life now, and you get to choose how you live it. You get to choose to be healthy, happy, and safe.
You know, I know you're right in every aspect, and since you work with these girls and women day in, day out, all of that is the right advice. However, I know it still has to be an emotional challenge, a spiritual challenge, especially for a young girl. I think a woman, a more mature woman, might be able to grasp the steps to handle it. I think conversations like the one that we're having will create a lot of introspection, a lot of questions about how will things shake out if I do this, even to the point where some may say, I'm not going to do it because it doesn't matter now. When I hear you say an 80-year-old woman did not share her story, she's saying it didn't really matter. It mattered to her emotionally. She just did not decide to reveal it for whatever reasons and dealt with that pain and hit, you know, decided to hide everything about it. So I would like for you in our next few minutes to talk to the women who you know are going to struggle. I know that there comes a great degree of growth and healing. And I know that that's your motive to produce women who are coming through as survivors and who are healing from that emotional pain, that emotional abuse. So what are you going to say? And you'll probably get more feedback. I'm sure the Me Too movement has catapulted you into all kinds of areas of concern that were even greater than you had before. So how do you speak to women who are going to begin a journey toward being, again, courageous enough to talk about this? Because I just don't imagine anybody, I think for myself even, I've experienced it. I don't see myself, I wrote about it in my book, but I don't see myself being ready to be as vocal as some, even though I put it in writing. And I know when I look at myself, a lot of it is because I know people, some of these people are still around. And I think to myself, I'm just being very, very transparent about it. I don't want to hear what comes along with that right now, you know, where I am in my life. I don't, I would have to say even myself, I just have to wrap my head around what I needed to do with that and keep it moving since it was a long time ago. So I'm happy, I'm healed, I'm okay. But what about the people who still is fresh on their minds as it ever was when it happened long ago? What are you going to say to them? How do they begin to step toward being open about this to you or someone who can help?
That is a great question, and I think it's important for everyone to understand that each individual healing journey is unique, and people have to walk it out in the way that's best for them. But healing is, it takes a lot of courage. It really does, because it's not an easy journey, and you have to take one step at a time. And so on November 28th, we're asking Black women all over the world to share their Black girl story. And we're asking them to share with the hashtag that says Black Girls Too, because we want to illuminate the fact that this is happening with Black girls. And so with that, I'm encouraging women to share as much or as little of their story that they feel comfortable with. So, for instance, they might just put the hashtag up, Black Girls Too. Or they may just say, we're asking to use the prompt, when I was a Black girl. You know, they may just say, when I was a Black girl, I wish I was seen. Or they may go deeply into the story, whether they write it or they, you know, submit a video with it. But what I do know is this, is that when you feel like you're in darkness, and many times we as survivors go through those periods where it just feels like you're in this secret shame and this darkness, I know if you crack the door even just a little bit, light comes in. And when you've been in darkness so long, it takes you a while to get used to that light. Like if you've been in darkness, somebody flips on some bright lights. But I also know that when you've been in darkness, that little bit of light is welcoming, and it gives you a little bit of hope. So for women who are at the point in their own healing journeys where they're looking for a little bit of hope and they're looking for a little bit of power, there is nothing like your own story, expressing it the way that you want to, as much as you want to. There's nothing like voice that gives us power. Like I said earlier, it was when I shared my voice. It's when I told my mother that I was able to do at 11 years old what she as a grown woman was not able to do, and that was protect myself. She did not protect me. But after I opened up my mouth and I let go of that secret, I was able to protect myself and tell my stepfather he was not going to abuse me again. So there's so much power in voice. And someone might need some support in that. So if someone is considering telling their Black girl's story, they may need to connect with a friend. They may need to connect with that sister or that cousin that is a support to them, to let them know, you know, I'm thinking about telling my Black girl story. Can you be with me? Can you support me? Can you check in with me? Because no one should ever have to go on their healing journey alone. And again, I stress that you tell as much or as little as you really want to tell, because then once you tell it, it is out there, you know, and there's power in that, but then there's courage that comes with standing with that. And so I think You know, it takes a village to raise a child. It also takes a village to heal a woman. So get your village around, even if it's a village of two people, you and someone else.
You are indeed right. You are indeed right. And I'm glad to have you here and continue, as I said, to commend the important work that you are doing. This sounds like it's going to be a vital, vital day. Can you tell people how they can get to you, how they can find out what they can do to be a part of it, help you in whatever ways they can on that day? I want to give out your website and just mention maybe some of the local things that they can do to be a part of it.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in more information on how you can participate, you can reach out to me at blackwomanheal@gmail.com. Again, that's blackwomanheal@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, LILADA, Relate Up, easy to find. I have a personal page and I have a professional page. You can find me, send me a direct message. And if nothing else, if you feel like you're not ready to tell your story, when you see those hashtags out there, search for them on the 28th of November and after thereafter. Search for that Black Girls 2 hashtag and just share it. Share somebody else's story post. Share something about the topic, and that will help to get the word out there. We're also raising funds for our Black Girl Live work, and if someone is interested in supporting that, they can go to GoFundMe.com/Black Girl Live, because we are doing deep work with Black girls around suicide prevention, sexual abuse prevention, and healing.
I also would like to mention in the last 2 minutes that Maleda is also on Facebook with a very big presence, and that Tuesday, November 28th is also Giving Tuesday. It's a global charitable day of giving. And if you are interested in helping with the future of her projects, it would be a great day. If you can do nothing else, you can donate to help toward her cause. And you have the donate button on your site, Maleda?
I don't think it's on our site, but it is on our page. So if somebody looks me up, they'll be able to see it
on
my page.
Yes, that's what I really meant to ask, that it's on your page. So, again, if there's nothing else that you're able to do, look in your pocket and see what you can give to make sure that this work continues, because there are so many who need the help. Maleda, thank you so much, again, for coming on, sharing your story, and for the phenomenal work you're doing. It is so needed. God bless you, and thanks again.
Thank you so much for your support. Take care.
All right. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. This is a much-needed effort, much-needed movement, and I really do hope and pray that there was something said today that will help you if this is an area where you have been challenged and really need to seek out help and find hope and healing. Maleda's Living Room. Look for her on Facebook. You can find everything else you need right there on that page. I want to say I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll look forward to you talking to you next time. Got a show planned for a week, probably a couple of shows planned for you next week, so keep your eyes open for that. I'll look forward to talking to you again then. In the meantime, until the next time, be good, be blessed, and be awesome.